what we want to cover today is
Common garden myths. So I think
some of these you may have already done and didn't realize they were garden myths, but we're going to make sure you don't do them again.
And some of them sound as ridiculous as they are.
But people believe them.
People believe them because maybe that was something that somebody told them once upon a time, and that's okay. So I guess the first one we have here is if you add sugar to the soil around your tomatoes, you'll grow a sweeter vegetable.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know where that theory came from, where that myth came from, but it doesn't make any sense.
The only way that that's going, the only way you're going to get a sweeter vegetable, or in instance of tomatoes, is a different type of tomato, a different variety of tomato. Typically, smaller varieties, less acidic varieties are the non-red tomatoes. Putting sugar in the hole is really the invitation of causing insects and rodents to go into that area. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Right. So there's no science there, essentially. It's just the variety of the tomatoes. So another one is I have one earthworm. I will cut it in half, and I have two earthworms.
Or if you cut it with a shovel, that type of thing, whenever you're working the soil.
So I actually believed this when I was a child, and I would collect worms from when it rained, and I had a worm collection. And then my dad told me if you cut the worms in half – that they would multiply, and I did a little experiment, and that didn't
kill a lot of worms.
I killed some worms, yeah. But I had this Tupperware container just full of worms. There's no wonder why I'm a gardener today.
Yeah, if you cut a worm in half, it's almost impossible not to hurt some worms.
Right, because they have a circulatory system.
Right.
They have a brain. They have, all of that. They have a waste, like a digestive system. So, yeah, you can't cut the worm in half.
If you do cut one in half, one part, typically it's the end with a little bump on it. If it's not too severe, it will re-heal itself and continue on. The other part will rot in the ground.
Now, I know a lot of people are concerned, like when they're digging in the soil or perhaps if they're using a rototiller. The biggest thing is that you can't prevent you can prevent it, but you can't avoid it.
Limit.
Yeah, you can limit it. I mean, if you dig in the soil with your shovel and the worm gets chopped in half, it's going to happen. When you use your rototiller, what you want to do is about, 3 minutes or something.
Yeah, 3 to 5.
Before you run it or before you start to rototill, you can run it next to wherever you're going to run it, next to the garden plot.
Let it idle.
And then what happens is worms sense danger by vibrations. They're going to go deeper in the soil. And then you don't
the
have
smart
to
ones.
The smart ones, and you don't have to worry about it as much.
So that's one way, and you can do your best to avoid tilling altogether. But there is more earthworms than you in healthy soil, more earthworms than you could ever imagine. But that's the myth there, and so your dad was wrong on that, and you can he's listening, and he will have learned something from the program.
Right.
So coffee grounds will make your soil acidic.
And pine needles, too. So this is not true. Coffee grounds do have a pH anywhere from 4.6 to 8.4. And we're talking about used coffee grounds.
Yeah.
So coffee grounds from like a local coffee shop is typically about a 6.8. It's not going to make the soil acidic. Now, you would have to add a lot of coffee grounds.
The acidity has been brewed out during the coffee making process.
Has been brewed out. But as far as like the nitrogen that's in them, if you a lot of people may be concerned about that, you'd have to add a lot of coffee grounds to your soil.
Coffee grounds contain by volume about 2% nitrogen, 0.4-ish% potassium, 0.2-ish% phosphate. So the nitrogen is really what you're going after. Also, you're going after that organic material that you're incorporating into your garden, your grow beds, in order to bring in the earthworms and other insects in order to feed off that and break that down to a usable form for your plants to uptake. Pine needles, they're acidic on the tree, about a 3.5, but by the time they fall to the ground, break down to a usable soil, they have neutralized. They make a very, very good mulch that doesn't break down very rapidly. over the course of a growing season. So it works very well in that aspect to utilize pine needles. So you'll hear the stories, and there are some very well-known, reputable Garden Talk radio hosts in this country, in the United States, that preach that coffee grounds will make your soil acidic. Pour it into your plants that need acidity in order to get them to grow better. Simply not true at all, and they're misleading millions of people each week with this kind of information.
Right. So that's another myth. And then as far as the pine needles.
Yeah, pine needles don't make the soil acidic at all.
So then let's see here.
Organic pesticides, they must be safer than chemical for pesticides.
So to an extent, I mean, they are safer for the environment.
When used correctly.
Now, when it comes to using them improperly, say you think, okay,
it's organic. How about I use more to fix the problem because it's safe because it's organic?
Right.
Not the case.
Right. So if one with a half a cup per 12 square feet is good, then obviously one cup is better. You don't want to do that. For one, even if it's not going to cause any problems or damage or something, you're just wasting your money, essentially, because the plants are only going to take in, it's only going to absorb into the soil as much. The plants aren't going to take in what they need.
Well, on the pesticide, if you're spraying for a bug control of some sort, you know, you can overutilize, and too much of an organic chemical can kill the good bugs too.
Right. I thought we were talking about fertilizer.
Oh, fertilizer, too. Yeah, we can talk about fertilizer, organic versus synthetic,
something like organic fertilizer. You don't need to add more because it's not like the plant's going to think, oh, this is a great boost. It's just going to use what it needs.
Right. And with the chemicals, the bug or weed killer, organic means using too much is just as bad as using, you know, too much of the synthetic man-made stuff. So you want to read the instructions, follow the instructions. Yes, in some instances, the organic is not as strong or as potent as the chemical synthetic or non-organic item is, but it is to some degree much more environmentally friendly because it is not of that level of toxicity that it hits the bug or it hits the plant and the plant instantly falls over and croaks because of that high level of toxicity.
Right. So that's a good point. So the next theory is that watering during the heat of the day burns the plant leaves. And this is not true. So the theory is that the water, so you say you water at noon and it's the hottest time of the day. Typically between 1 and 3 p.m. is the hottest time of the day. So
this is like if you're doing that overhead or that sprinkler, the overhead stuff. If you're going at ground level, sub-irrigation, drip irrigation, soaker hose, this is not relevant to that.
We're talking about overhead.
Overhead water.
Yeah. So say you do this between 1 and 3 or whatever, the hottest time of the day where the sun's at the highest peak. The theory is that the water droplets fall on the leaves and then the sun is there and it burns the leaves.
Well, hold on a minute. Now,
and it magnifies the sun.
It rains all over the world. And then the sun comes out after it rains all over the world, and plants are not combusting from water droplets.
Like the trees.
Yeah. They're exploding throughout the woods. So this clearly, this is not the case, because if it was the case, there would be no vegetation left on the earth because it all would combust because the magnification of the water and the sunlight would cause the plants to burn up.
Right. So it's not true. Physicists found that the water droplets on the leaf surface, we're not able to focus the sun's energy. So a lot of times it might be something like lack of nutrients, reactions from over-fertilization, things like that.
So continue to, you know, the best option to watering is simply at ground level or early in the morning so the plants can dry off before the evening. You know, if you water right at dusk and the nighttime temperatures are not that warm, that wet moisture on the leaves can introduce mildew and problems for the plant. So if you can invest in a irrigation system such as from Dripworks or Water Hoop or Tree Diaper to keep that moisture at very low to the ground and off of the leaves, your plants are going to be much healthier and you don't lose as much because of the evaporation that's flying through the air until it gets to the ground.
Right.
And with that, that is just some of the 400 billion and 12 different garden myths in which maybe some of you have thought for years was true. But one thing, and it's not true. So we hopefully we can avoid you to doing some extra work and focus on things that we know are scientifically proven and can make your garden grow better. Another thing that we know is true is Walton's has everything but the meat, and they have all the items you need to go from animal to edible from the animals on your property or that you purchase to take care of the product yourself.
The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from. Canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables is great. But what about the meats? At waltonsinc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, turkey, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created meatgistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, and more.
Spices and seasoning,
even for your vegetables, too.
For your vegetables and your barbecues, they got the stuff that surpasses anybody else's that you can find.
It's definitely very delicious. So you can go from animal to edible. Walton's is everything but the meat. Again, that's waltonsinc.com or meatgistics.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.